Welcome to the Business Isn't Usual podcast, and it's wage subsidy time again. So we thought a quick podcast catching with Rachel Harris, our HR advisor, to go over the details of the announcements made this week by Grant Robinson to understand how they affect your business and if you qualify. We also go over the leave entitlement pays, and we also just go over the basics of the wage subsidy again to make sure you have all the information you need and so you're informed. If you want to stay up to date with any podcast from Right Way, make sure you subscribe on the platform where you're listening to this podcast, and also subscribe to us on social media where we share all our content and updates. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Rach, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you very much, Stuart.
So we thought we'd do a quick impromptu 10-minute podcast with the recent announcement yesterday of the updated wage subsidy. And we thought it'd be good to get Rach back on just to go over those common questions that Rach has had and we've all had about wage subsidy and how it works. But what I'll do is I'll just sort of go over the details of what the government announced or Grant Robinson announced yesterday. So the criteria, what they're saying is the criteria of the new wage subsidy are similar to the current extension, which they've already put in place. But in particular, a business must have had or is predicting to have a revenue drop due to COVID-19 of at least 40%. So they've still kept this at 40% from the original, what was it, 20, I think, back in the day?
30.
But yeah, 30. Yeah. For this new scheme, though, the revenue drop applies for any consecutive period of at least 14 days within the 12th of August and the 10th of September compared to last year. So it is, I guess, Rachel, with this one, this is quite a precise window that they're sort of really honing on this 2 weeks this time, aren't they?
They sure are. Yeah, no, it's definitely a response to what's currently going on.
It's
quite clear.
So I guess for anyone that's looking at this and I guess that's been impacted with the recent changes that we've experienced in the last week or so, and I guess it's the sudden change that would have, it's probably pulled us a little bit. We talked about this in the last podcast. We're all sitting there at 9:15 on a Tuesday, and then by Wednesday, less than 24 hours later, Auckland's in level that's 3. Right. So it's the suddenness of it. So I think first place to start, Rach, when people are looking at the wage subsidy and the questions you've had over time, what are the common questions people have had about the wage subsidy and how it applies to them?
Things have actually quietened down quite a lot. In my part of the world in HR, I've had probably less of a part to play over recent weeks. Many businesses they've made those structural changes that they've deemed necessary in order to make their future recovery more sustainable. And I guess a lot of the conversations that we're seeing as a business now are around revenue and cash flow and generally how things are tracking for businesses. People are generally quite schooled up on the wage subsidy now and what their obligations are. They know now that they know they need to pay the 80% as a minimum. They just generally know what their obligations are, which is really good. But of course, as you said, this past week we've had these further developments due to the transmission in the community, which, it's not surprising that it's rattled us all, regardless of whereabouts in the country we are. And of course, that's shaken our confidence because I think we all started to think we were living in some form of insulated existence from the rest of the world. So when, the government announced this two-week wage subsidy scheme, and they've coined it, it's quite good they've got different names now, Resurgence Wage Subsidy.
It's got its own name
it's
now.
It's got its own name. So now, it's at least we're not just talking about a blanket wage subsidy. We can actually, we can identify what periods and things this might have, taken into account. So this is obviously in response to, this recent move to levels 2 and 3 across the country. That sort of in place until midnight or 11:59 on, the 26th of August, so next Wednesday. And I guess, as we know that the focus of the present community cluster is Auckland, and that as a city, it represents 40% of our GDP. But because of Auckland's position in our economy and probably for ease of administration, the government has applied that subsidy or the latest scheme nationwide.
Yeah.
I understand the government's also looking at they've flagged that they're looking at more sustainable options that could be applied in the future, regardless of the situation, because I think we've seen a lot of Band-Aids coming into play. Every time something happens, they'll just, throw another pot of money at the situation and introduce some more timeframes and some more thresholds. And I think there needs to be a more sustainable option, because as we now know, things are just constantly evolving. And, you know, we thought we were in a good place a couple of weeks ago, and now suddenly we're back into the situation that we're in now. So I guess it would probably be quite good to actually just recap some of those timeframes. You've thrown some dates out just as part of your intro, yes. Stern, and there are so many timeframes and dates and thresholds, and it becomes really quite complicated to get your head around. Yep. There's a lot of reading, and there's lots of things you need to sort of school yourself up on. So if we go back to the start of all of this, you know, it's 5 months ago now, the original what was called the wage subsidy scheme came in on the 17th of March. Those applications were open until the 9th of June. It was paid out as a lump sum, covered 12 weeks, and it was paid at, you know, $585 a week if you're working 20 hours more, or $350 a week if you're working less than 20 hours a week. So those two same rates, the government have at least kept that continuity. Those same rates are still being applied today. So we know that they're the two rates that we need to sort of factor in. I think at last count about 71% of all businesses in New Zealand received assistance through that original scheme, just, you know, because of the impact that level four obviously, you know, had on our wider economy. So once that 12-week subsidy was exhausted, businesses could then be eligible for the eight-week wage subsidy extension scheme. So that was the 10th of June. And that was subject to some amended criteria. So while the original wage subsidy scheme was available to businesses who could show a 30% decline in revenue, under the wage subsidy extension scheme, the threshold, as you said, was increased to a minimum of 40% decline in revenue. And that was for a consecutive 30-day period. So what the government intended was that it would be targeted towards businesses who have been most impacted by COVID, such as tourism and hospitality. And that's why there's been a higher threshold. I think the government indicated that they didn't necessarily want every business in New Zealand rushing off to access this additional subsidy, but they wanted businesses to really analyse what was happening within their business before doing so. So they set the bar a little bit higher there. Now, this is where the myriad of timeframes really starts to kick in, because and it can be quite confusing. So the 30-day period for the wage subsidy extension scheme needs to be in the 40 days prior to your application. So, for example, if you apply for the wage subsidy extension today, because applications are still open as of today, today being the 19th of August, your 40% decline in revenue must be for a continuous 30-day period up until yesterday, for example. So in effect, it's a 30 rolling day period between the 10th of May, when it came into introduction, and the 1st of September, which is when applications are closing.
So it's not, I guess, with this second one, Rach, the key thing is it's not like, you know, the what was announced yesterday was for a 2-week period in a certain window. This one is saying with the extension one, they is like a rolling date based on, over this last 4 weeks, I've consistently dropped 40% and now I'm eligible. You could become eligible because of
And I think that's a really important, you know, like now we're getting phone calls, or I've had the last, you know, this week's actually been busier because people are now saying, oh, look, I wasn't eligible before. Now I'm sitting at 38%. So it's like, oh, so close. But I actually anticipate that I'm going to actually hit that 40%. And I've been saying, monitor it daily. Just keep monitoring your revenue, seeing how it's tracking. Have a chat to their business partner or accountant. Get them to check their figures, and, you know, let's just keep monitoring it, because, you know, applications are still open until the 1st of September, and so for the wage subsidy extension scheme, so, you know, don't discount it just because you may not have hit that threshold, you know, a couple of weeks ago. Now, the reason why there's that they talk about a 30-day window, 30 days within a 40-day window, now that there's a 10-day window, if you like, there. Now, that's actually just to allow for administrative procedures for the business owner. Yes. So getting employee consent, for example, and I'll touch on that shortly. But, yeah, no, it just gives them, a business owner, a little bit more wriggle room to say, okay, there's my window, there's my 30 days, but actually there's a little bit of homework I need to do. I need to prepare by making sure I've got employee consent, that sort of thing, to release or to apply for the subsidy. So that subsidy opened on the 10th of June. As I say, applications are still open until the 1st of September. So there's just a week or two remaining for businesses to access that. So finally this week, we have been presented with the resurgence wage subsidy. So this is the two-week payment. It's designed to get us through the latest outbreak. Businesses can apply from, I think it's about 1 o'clock this Friday, the 21st of August.
Yes.
And that's open until the 3rd of September. And as with the wage subsidy extension, you need to have had or expect that revenue drop of 40% for a 14-day period between the 12th of August and the 10th of September, compared to a similar period last year. So it's very similar thinking, very similar philosophy, but it's just quite a short snapshot of time in which to sort of get your ducks in a row. So between the wage subsidy extension and then the resurgence wage subsidy, there could be a reasonably seamless period of funding for a business if they meet the threshold. And I think it's really important to note that if you didn't apply for the original subsidy for whatever reason, you can still apply for the extension.
You still apply, can't you?
Yeah, yep. And you can still apply for the resurgence subsidy. They're not, you know, mutually exclusive. So long as you meet the criteria, obviously. But I guess you just can't double dip. So if you've applied for the wage extension, you need to wait for that funding to exhaust before you go and then receive or apply yep. for the resurgence wage subsidy. So just plan ahead, think what you're going to do, and make sure that, you know, you try and make it as seamless as possible if you think you're going to, you know, meet that criteria. And yeah, and I guess added to that threshold is the previous obligations around, you know, mitigating your financial impacts, making sure that you retain your employees for the duration of that subsidy period, paying them the minimum of 80% of their ordinary wage, all that sort of thing still applies. So, yeah, nothing changes there.
And I guess that's the thing with between the extension, which is still running, and the resurgent wage subsidy, I've got the name right.
Yep.
Is resurgent, I guess, is for those businesses. And I straight away, you know, we all think of HOSPO.
Yes.
They've straight away, as of Wednesday, had to contract their ability to, you know, generate revenue because of the restrictions and especially in Auckland. So yes. I think that, and I know that for tourism, they had people like the mayor of Queenstown and Rotorua on the radio, that because Auckland's such a big market for them, that there's obviously going to be businesses quite quickly see revenue decline. And I guess that's why they've gone for the 2 week thing. So even if you've been going strong and maybe you're a tourism business through the school holidays that done really, really well and all those sort of things where we've heard really good positive news of spending was up and things were going well, this is really to really cater for those businesses where there's been this rapid decline because of this sudden situation we're in.
Exactly right. Yes, that's it. If we've got a moment, should I just touch on the leave support scheme as well? Because
I think that's really, really important thing, I think. Yeah, that'd be great, Rach.
So the leave support scheme, it's been tweaked somewhat. It used to be for essential workers, but I think now that we've got this this outbreak of community transmission, it's a lot more relevant than it used to be, particularly for the Upper North Island. If you've got a business up in the Upper North Island, or employees at least. So effectively, the reason behind the changing in the leave support scheme was, really, the government has acknowledged that for us to effectively manage and recover from COVID, we need to be able to remove barriers to a person getting tested for COVID-19. And one of those barriers is naturally the fear that an employee might have that a positive result would mean that they might not have ongoing income, or they're not able to work because they might have already used up their sick leave, for example. So the leave support scheme is available where an employee has tested positive for COVID-19, or they have come into contact with someone who has COVID-19 and they've been told to self-isolate for 14 days, but as required by the Ministry of Health, or they are at a higher risk if they get COVID-19, so that, you know, they might be elderly, they might be immunocompromised, or any household members who are at a higher risk if they get COVID-19, and the Ministry of Health has recommended the employee also remains at home to reduce the risk to them. So with the scheme as it currently stands up until the 21st of August, businesses must have experienced either a 30% decline in actual or predicted revenue or had their ability to support their employees negatively impacted due to COVID-19. So why I say the 21st of August is this is when the amendment comes in. So the latest amendment is that 30% revenue test has been or will be removed as of the 21st of August. So if you have an employee who you think is going to be eligible for that, you can, after the 21st of August, you don't need to look at your books, you can just go ahead and apply for that leave support scheme. I guess the important thing to note with the leave support scheme is you can't, go back a step. If you apply for it, you get a lump sum payment, just like you would with the subsidy. It's for 4 weeks. I guess what you need to think about is you can't get the subsidy and the leave support.
Okay.
So it's one or the other. And In that respect, if you're getting the wage extension scheme for 8 weeks, the leave support payment is only for 4 weeks, so it may be in your best interest just to leave it as the wage subsidy extension and not actually seek the leave support payment. So, you know, just think that through, but it is an option there if you're thinking, gosh, I've actually run out of subsidy, I've got no ability to pay this person, I'd really like to be able to pay this person, then, you know, if you meet that threshold for the COVID, you know, the impact from COVID, then that's something that you can definitely, you know, apply for. And the payment rates are the same as for the subsidy, so it's the 585 and the 350.
Yep. So, obviously, Rachel, there is support out there for business owners with their employees, which is fantastic. But there are some conditions that the employees need to meet to make sure, outside of just the qualification, but there is criteria that bet on them receiving this funds. Do you want to just, I guess, recap what is the employer's, responsibility?
So I talked about that 40-day window, and that was to provide a business owner the opportunity for a bit of housekeeping and before they apply. So going back to the topic of employee consent, hopefully this has already happened in your business, but if you've applied for the subsidy, is you actually need to get your employee's consent before you apply for the subsidy. And ideally you would want that in writing. So maybe an email out to all your staff if you're thinking about applying for a subsidy, getting them to come back and say, yes, that's fine. Let them know the type of information that you'll be having to share, because at the end of the day, it is a privacy concern. You are sharing some of their employment information with potentially one or more government agencies, so MSD, Social Development, and potentially others. There's not a lot of information that needs to be shared, but it's still private information. So it's really important to get that consent. And of course, just the usual, if you are needing to reduce somebody's hours of work or their ordinary wage, you need to get their agreement. And I can't stress that enough. And that sort of come back to bite a few businesses, I think, who sort of unilaterally decided to change employment conditions back at the start of subsidy. It's been in the media. It's been in the media for sure. And I guess the other thing worth noting is if you haven't already, you know, this is quite clearly this is a high trust model that the government has introduced with all of these subsidy schemes. So, you know, all you're doing really is putting in an employee's IRD number, saying they worked part-time or full-time, and you're getting, you know, a lump sum payment. So it's very high trust. But what we are starting to see now is that the government is starting to audit businesses. I think the last count, MSD had employed over 100 people dedicated to that audit function. The audits might be happening because maybe they have compared a GST return, for example, with somebody who think, oh, actually, they're on a benefit. How come they're submitting a GST return and they're on a benefit? Or an employee has complained about maybe the behaviour from their employer, or just a random selection for audit. So whatever you do, just make sure that your documentation is up to scratch. You've got file notes, you've got emails, you're just making a good record or create a checklist of All the sorts of things that you've done when applying for the subsidy. Have you got employee consent? Have you got their agreement to change hours if you've had to change hours? Mm. All that sort of thing. Keep a file on it, and then that will make your life so much, so much easier if you do get approached by MSD for an audit.
Yeah, and I think, look, one of the messages I think is really important for me here, Rach, is that there may be companies that are going, hey, look, I am predicting that based on what's happened the last few days, but also I think I'm going to qualify, and based on my predicted revenues, I could be. But there also, I think there's a mentality potentially that people go, oh, but I don't want to get pinged if I'm at 30% drop.
Yes.
And I think one of the things that we've seen is that if you receive the wage subsidy and you put it in, I know one of your original podcasts, Rach, you said, look, put it away in it if you can in a separate bank account and ring fence it. Mm. It's there if you need it. If it turns out you didn't qualify and you go, actually, it wasn't as bad as I thought, you can always go and pay it back.
Oh, but absolutely.
And I think it's important that people realize that it's there to make sure you can pay the wages, and that's the whole point of it. So if you then... I would hate to think of business owners being so bit worried about, oh, do I qualify or what, or what's going to happen the next few weeks, and then put themselves in a position where they can't pay the wages, and they're in a panic trying to get the wage subsidy to get the money, and then pressure's being put on them, their employees. So, look, ring fence it was one of our original messages we talked about. And if you don't qualify or things don't go as bad as you think, cool, you know, you can always go in and have a conversation and pay it back. But don't also put yourself in a position of pressure, I think, is a good
message. No. And I think as of late July, about $200 to $300 million had been repaid. So it does happen. And there are some, you know, some really honest businesses out there who are saying, look, you know, I didn't get it quite right, or, you know, whatever reason. And it's so easy to repay it, and it clears your conscience, and you know that you've done the right thing. So, yeah, I think it's better to err on the side of caution. As you say, apply for it, get it if you think you might need it, but ring fence it, if you know, just in case, and pay it back if you don't need it. It's as simple as that. Yeah.
Awesome. All right, Rach, any final points that we need to cover, or that was our...
I think it's a wrap. Yeah.
I think it was a wrap. Awesome. Beautiful. Well, thanks again, Rach, for quickly jumping on the podcast. And any questions people have, we'll make sure Rachel's sort of details and Right Ways Diesel in the podcast show notes. And make sure you subscribe to the next episode. Thanks very much, Rach.
Cheers. No worries.